Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version. Second edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society, used by permission. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. This week's message is called God Gathers Us to Himself. Thank you to Paul, Rhonda, and Don for being part of the service. Paul will read Psalm 116 as part of his welcome.
Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ service. Today we are gathered together to worship together, some of us in person, some of us online, and that is awesome. We have a couple announcements as we get going this morning. I am Paul Moore, by the way. A couple announcements. We want to say happy birthday to Marion, Janet, Daniel, Ben, and Tim for February. I want to extend our sympathies to the Tallman family, June passing away. Please keep them in your prayers. Great. This morning we are listening to a message from Don, and hopefully this passage twins with that message. It's Psalm 116. We're going to start with 1 through 7. If you have your devices or Bibles, turn with me there. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Join with me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us, all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this time that we can be together, whether in person or online. Help us to worship you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Help us to be open to a message from you. Help us to be open to being reminded of your Son and what he has done for us. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you have been through us, been with us, even in these difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen.
We welcome you. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the part of the world. I'm grateful that you are with us, even though you're not in bodily form together. One of the unique things about being part of God's church is that we are together, we are united wherever we are in the world, no matter what time of day or night it is, we are here together, united in Christ. I have a singular thought today that I want to share with you. It's a picture that Jesus gives as he's entering into Jerusalem. If there was a title to this sermon, it is the fact that God gathers us to himself. When I was a younger boy, one of our Sunday school teachers had this large picture on the Sunday school wall, and it was a picture of Jesus opening his arms to the children and Jesus welcoming them to himself. And it's a very good understanding of how God himself is always at work gathering us to himself. The fiery preacher Jim McGuigan from Ireland used this passage where he says Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and you can find this in Matthew 23 where it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he's pouring out his heart and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets and stoned those who have been sent to you, how long have I wanted to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. So Jim McGuigan tells the story of a farmer that he knew who suffered a terrible loss, a fire. He was a farmer and his barn burned to the ground. There was nothing they could do to stop the fire, and it was horrible. His barn was full of animals. Everything was destroyed. And several days later, as he was walking through the rubble, he came across an old mother hen. This old mother hen had given him trouble all the time. Even though the farmer fed this mother hen was protective of her chicks and everything else, and that mother hen gave that farmer a tough time. And there she was. She had died in the fire. And sort of in his disgust, he put his foot underneath the mother hen and kind of flipped her over. And when he did that, a number of little baby chicks came running out from underneath. That mother hen had protected those baby chicks. They were saved. This is the story that's our story. This is the story of Jesus welcoming us, gathering us, protecting us because of God's love for us. I have a singular thought today, and that's the thought of God gathering us to himself. It's pictured from Old Testament to New Testament, and I just want to share some of these beautiful pictures so you can grab these scenes in your mind as we look at these passages of God gathering us to himself. And right now, in this worldwide pandemic, that's a really good thing to hold on to. God has not abandoned us. God is gathering us to himself. One of the things that can happen when difficult times come is that people can either pull away from God or move closer to God. But picture the theme of God gathering us to himself. The book of Isaiah talks about this. The book of Luke talks about this. And I don't know, it's probably a thought or guess. I'm not sure if it's true or not. But I've often wondered if Isaiah and Luke had similar personalities. When I read the book of Isaiah, so optimistic in many ways, and a future look of God gathering us together. And then I read the book of Luke, where Luke is the most inclusive of the gospel writers, where Luke is constantly, chapter after chapter after chapter, welcoming all people to himself, especially people who never thought they were welcome, because they were told by the religious elite of that day that they weren't welcome. But Jesus comes along and asks them to believe and to picture God gathering all of us to himself. I suppose that's why John 3:16 is the most quoted of scriptures. God so loved the world, every one of us, and the world itself, creation itself. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, a life that always works, God gathering us to himself. So in Isaiah chapter 2, these scriptures that I'm going to read, they're picture scriptures in your mind. And here's what Isaiah is said. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. And here's the picture. All nations will stream to it. It is this phrase of God gathering, inviting, welcoming all. It's almost like the picture that I saw as a child of Noah's Ark. Here's this ark being built, and here are all these animals lining up, walking toward this ark so that they will be safely secured in this beautiful ark. And it's this picture all throughout the scripture of God welcoming us unto himself, walking up to the mountain of God, if you will, and it says all nations will stream to it. And then he says, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, but he will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. A new creation, a new thought of God gathering all of us to himself. And as it was unthinkable when Isaiah said what he said, for many today, it's just as unthinkable. God's promise always comes true. God is gathering all of us to himself. And all throughout this beautiful book of Isaiah, he gives us pictures. In Isaiah chapter 11, this beautiful picture unto itself, which is unbelievable when you stop and think about it, but yet maybe it brings us back to the Garden of Eden. Have you ever wondered about how does it work when there's a lion and a lamb together? Usually it doesn't go over very well for the lamb, but it does in the Eden. And here's what is being said in Isaiah, this future look. It says, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lay down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. Can you just picture that in your mind? A child with a leash and walking along, pulling a lion that could gobble up the child at any moment, but doesn't. Because God's creation has come new. It's this picture, this look of God gathering all of us to himself. In verse 7, it says, the cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Infants will play near the hole of the cobra. Young children will put their hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So maybe some 700 years before Jesus comes into the world, Isaiah is giving us a future look of God gathering all of us to himself in the new heavens and the new earth, in a new creation, in a new way, where God's intention was always for all of us to come together in peace and love and joy. It's a beautiful picture that God gives to us. And also in Isaiah, it's all throughout this book, these pictures of God's invitation to come together. He gives us another future look. In Isaiah chapter 19, in verse 23, it says this, and in that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together in that day, and Israel will be the third along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing on the earth. Now, that may not mean too much to us, but if you go back and look at the history, you will notice that what Isaiah is saying, three enemies who could not stand to be together are all coming together as one. The Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Israelites, all coming together as one. It would have been unthinkable when Isaiah writes this. But it says, the Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people. Whoa, whoa. You know the story from the Old Testament. The Israelites in Egyptian bondage for 400 years at least, mistreating the Israelites. But here God says, no, they're my people. They misunderstood. They treated other people harshly. But one day, that's not going to happen anymore. The Egyptians, the Israelites, they will all come together as one along with the Assyrians. And in chapter 11, it says, the entire earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That one day this pandemic will be over, and that one day a future look of God gathering all of us will become a reality. And it's not easy to grasp. Many of us can remember back in the 1960s, early 60s, 63, 64, and so forth, and even on through the 1960s, where the racial tension in North America was horrific. And a wonderful man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr. stood up, and he was thrown into prison because he talked about equality. He talked about fairness. He talked about God loving everyone, no matter where they come from, no matter their color, no matter their culture. He gave this picture of God gathering us all together. And we stood in Washington in front of thousands and thousands and thousands, some say 500,000 people. He talked about looking forward to the day when his children could hold hands together with all children around the world, not just in North America, that we could be together as one, as God intended from the very beginning. And it's a story that is an eternal story, even for us today. Can we picture what is pictured by God himself? And that Jesus gives insight together. And as Luke, and we'll spend some time in Luke, talks about coming together as one. All those people who were considered on the outside, no longer. But because God gathers, they're welcome to come to one another. These are all beautiful pictures that we can share. I want to just, before we go to the New Testament, also read from Isaiah chapter 40, and from chapter 40 all the way through chapter 60, it's a beautiful picture. Comfort. Comfort, my people, says your Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And that was Martin Luther King's favorite scripture that he used over and over and over again, wherever he went. Even into the places like Alabama that was very, very prejudiced at the time. These are the scriptures that he would share. Because it's the picture of what Jesus said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You who have killed the prophets and stoned those who have been sent to you. How long have I wanted to gather you? As a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. But Jesus knows the scriptures well. And here's what was said by Isaiah, and he knew that well. And so when we get into the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, here's this picture of Jesus gathering people unto himself. I love the scripture where Jesus gathers the children unto himself, and he blesses them. So what I want to do now is just kind of turn to the book of Luke. And again, I said this earlier, I don't know, it seems to me when I read the book of Isaiah and I read the book of Luke that they seem to be twins to me, that they share the same desire, this goal of people coming together as one. So in Luke chapter 4, and this is a very familiar passage. Jesus is going to his hometown, Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the church, the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. He went looking for it, and he knew where it was. And he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Not just the elite, but to the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," forgiveness for all. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, many sermons have been preached on this. And for the most part, many times the main thought of all of this is, Jesus begins his ministry now. And I suppose that's true. But I think what Jesus is doing more than anything else is not emphasizing himself. He's saying everything has changed. The reality of a new creation has come. Everyone is welcome to God's kingdom. Everyone. Not just Jew, not just Gentile, but Jew and Gentile alike. Not just conservative, not just progressive, but everyone is welcome to God's kingdom. And then it says, all spoke well of him. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. And someone said, "Well, isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" And then Jesus lowers the boom. "Truly I tell you," he continued, "prophets are not accepted in their hometowns." I go back to Martin Luther King Jr. He traveled extensively. He preached the same message. God so loved all of us, gathering all of us together. But there were some who did not like what he said, did not enjoy what he was saying. That inclusivity, that everyone was welcome, was beyond their approach. This is a message that Jesus preached from the very, very beginning. Because many of us are Christians and we've all grown up reading the stories about Jesus and how he loves everyone, how God loves the children, sometimes we forget the prejudice that was poured out on Jesus. And as soon as somebody with a religious stance has a view that's different than ours, sometimes we want to back it up without really listening to what's being said. And so they're thinking, what's he really saying? And he says this: "The prophets are not accepted in their hometowns. I was assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath." In other words, he wasn't sent just to the Jews. He was sent to other people than the Jews, Gentiles as well, in the region of Sidon. "And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed, yet only Naaman, who was not an Israelite, was healed. And this caused a lot of skepticism in people's minds. Is this really the Messiah who welcomes everyone? That God is gathering everyone to himself? Though we read the book of Luke, and here's what we see. Jesus spends time with, loves, puts his arms around, loves them, the lonely, the broken, the oppressed, those who are considered social outcasts, the poor, women, Samaritans, Gentiles, tax collectors, those who had no homes and lived on the streets, those who had leprosy, those who were trapped in a lifestyle that they couldn't get out of. Jesus came for all of them. And nothing's changed. He still comes for all of us. That everyone is welcome. And Luke is this wonderful scene of inclusion. And it pictures Jesus going from home to home to home to eat food with Gentiles who were considered outcasts, and food that the Jewish people weren't supposed to eat. And Jesus comes along demonstrating that he is the Messiah, the one who welcomes everyone to Christ. And so these wonderful scriptures give us pictures over and over again of Jesus welcoming one another. And then he starts to begin telling parables. And then in Luke chapter 13, this welcome mat that's for all are these words. Luke chapter 13 and verse 29, and you can picture this in your mind. Jesus says, people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. Those who dominated others will be crushed under this invitation that everyone is first class, that there is a door that God opens for all of us to come to himself. No longer marginalized, no longer inferior. And Jesus was criticized, even by his disciples, when he would go to a house of a Gentile and eat with them. He could not grasp any of these things. And yet the reality of today, there's still a lot of prejudice in our world. And one of the things that the pandemic has done, even though it's caused a lot of mental health problems and a lot of problems, is it makes us pause and ask the question, so what's really important? What's really, really important? And even though there are relationships that sometimes have struggled, what's really important? And I think we go back to what God always said, the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another just as God loves us. To put our arms around one another, to welcome one another. We don't all have to look alike, we don't all have to think alike, but we come together having this view, this understanding that a new way of living in the world is possible. I'm not sure who said this, it might have been N.T. Wright, but he said, Jesus is our hope. And he offers us hope in a new world, gathering us together. Hope is what you get when you suddenly realize that a different worldview is possible. A worldview in which the greedy and powerful and the unscrupulous do not, after all, have the last word. The same worldview shift that is demanded by the resurrection of Jesus is the shift that will enable us to transform the world. And that's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 2, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 11. The whole world being gathered together by Jesus Christ. It's this wonderful picture of all of us coming together as one. And so throughout the rest of the New Testament, man by the name of the Apostle Paul talks about this, gathering one another, welcoming one another, enjoying one another. And even with all the struggles and all of that, it's worth coming together as one. And here's what Paul says when he writes to the church at Thessalonica. He says, we're not looking for praise from any human being, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our prerogatives. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother gathers her children, Just as that mean old mother hen gathered her chicks, just as God gathers us, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And then he gives us this other picture. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you, God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. It's God gathering us to himself. This is a beautiful picture in 1 Thessalonians of God welcoming us, gathering us to himself. So no matter where you are, and no matter what's happening in your lives, I would encourage all of us to grab this picture, knowing that God gathers us, welcoming us to himself, to reach out to others. And there are many ways that we can do it, many practical ways that we can do this. So if you're at home and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling like no one is calling or no one's texting or whatever, there is a guaranteed way to respond to that. Call, write, text, phone. Don't be alone. Reach out to others. And if you have this picture that is in Scripture of God gathering us, welcoming us, bringing us together as one, then maybe that is a picture that we could play out today, gathering others to ourselves. We may not be able to be together in person, but we may just save someone's life by calling someone who is so low, they're not sure they want to be around anymore. Or a text, just letting people know that we're thinking of them. As God gathers all of us to himself, as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, may we be willing to do the same. May God bless you. Thank you for being part of us today, and may you have a wonderful week.
Good morning. This morning, I would like to read several scriptures from Colossians and then from Philippians to prepare our minds for taking the Lord's Supper. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over exactly where I am reading. I'd recommend that you read Colossians and Philippians also, and then you'll be able to see where I've read maybe later on. Through the Son, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. At one time, You were far away from God and were his enemies because of the evil things you did in thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his son, God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people, this rich and glorious secret which he has for his people. Christ is in you, which means that you will share in the glory of God. Live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him, build your lives on him, and become stronger in your faith. You have been given full life in union with Jesus. For when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and in baptism, you were also raised with Christ through your faith in the active power of God who raised him from death. You have been raised to life with Christ, so set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on his throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ, and when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thought, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and earth and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his purpose. Do everything without complaining and arguing. You must shine like stars lighting up the sky as you offer the message of life to others. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude toward everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. All of these scriptures were written by Paul and written at a time when he was in prison. And even when he was in prison, he had joy. And he had joy because he was united with God through Christ because of the cross. And that is the source of our joy. We have our own little prison right now with coronavirus, but even though we have our little prison that we are in, we have a special joy because we are united with Christ, and that's the source of our joy, not our circumstances. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray using two more scriptures while I'm going to be rewording them a little bit and use them as we pray before we partake of the Lord's Supper. My deep desire is that we will all never fail in our duty, but at all times, and especially right now, that we will be full of courage so that with our whole being, we will bring honor to Christ, whether we live or die. And all we want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection and to share in his suffering and become like him in his death. and in the hope that we may be raised from death to life. God, please help us to that end as we take the bread and as we take the cup. In Jesus' name, amen. You may now partake. Thank you.
Because of the provincial lockdown, in-person services are canceled until further notice. Please check our Facebook page for the most current updates. You can learn more about the congregation at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.